Let me start by introducing us. I'm Marcus Kulowitz from Microsoft Research here in New York, and we're doing a...
I'm Jonathan Crockett. I'm a director of R&D at Complex Networks.
So I'll introduce Custom Decision Service. I hope I... Okay, yes. we just have a quick update on the presentation. So we built a service for called Custom Decision Service, and Complex was nice and worked with us for the last year when we were in the stage of getting everything started. And oh, perfect. So let me start on what we're doing in a nutshell. Our system senses the wall, looks at what's around, then it acts, and then we observe an outcome. And our system is going to optimize the outcome, is going to optimize how it acts based on what it observes. Sounds very abstract. Let me try to get that and map it to something that's maybe more common to you. On MSN, when we started off, I think 2 years ago, the task was to personalize the news for everybody that arrives at msn.com. So what does sensing mean? We sense what user comes to us, what news do we have available. The acting is what order of the news articles we present to the user that's coming there. And then what we observe is the click. So I think the big difference to other services is that we are collecting the data on behalf, and we can do this because our system is acting by choosing the ranking of the articles. And we are, in difference to other recommendation systems, we are exploring over different options, meaning that we are sometimes trying out not only tech articles, if Jonathan here likes only tech, he's only getting tech. Sometimes we actually give him a fashion article, and that would that information of him clicking on a fashion article might be much more valuable to our system and then it is on just looking at the tech articles. The downside of this is that we need to be deployed on the live system because our system is acting and is choosing what's displayed on the ranking. So we worked with MSN, we worked with Complex, we've seen very strong results. Let me highlight maybe the last one, which is track revenue. So the system is not only able to learn from the clicks, but any metric that you can report to us, we can optimize. If you can associate it to a decision that we made, namely the ranking, then we can optimize it. And in the case of track revenue, they're actually observing revenue that they see for the advertisements they are showing, and our system is optimizing that directly for them. So let's dive a bit more into MSN and what we're optimizing there. So we have two components. One is the river on the very right. So it's the top picture there and the few articles below. And we've seen a pretty big lift. We have seen 26% relative lift over what we've had in the past. From there, we moved over. And we're not able to optimize directly for advertisement lift, but this trickled down on the advertisement clicks that we've seen there. And from there, we went further and not only optimized the river, but also that slideshow. So that's a different use case you can think of, not just the landing pages, but also if the things are moving forward. So how do you get started with this? Currently, we're offering it for free. You just need to sign up, choose an application name. You provide us an RSS feed with the articles that you want to personalize over. And if you give us an Azure Storage account, you'll get access to the data that we log on your behalf. You can look at it, you can use it for offline analysis, and I'll show you a couple of magic tricks we can do with that, or you can do with that afterwards. So how is the workflow? So as I said, you give us an RSS article, and with that RSS article, we'll fetch, in the content personalization use case, we'll fetch your articles. We're actually using a couple other cognitive services to extract knowledge out of those articles so that we have a deeper understanding of what they are. That gives us features back. It's more an ML term, like something that we need for the machine learning underneath to understand it. So by that, now your web server is serving out the content that you want to show to your users on a landing page, like in MSN, for example. Then through JavaScript, you make a call to our API, and that gives us access to what user is coming on your landing page, so we can extract features, what browser he has, and I'll go into that a bit more in detail later on. And then we serve back the ranking, and then it's your responsibility to reorder the ranking on the web page and update it there. And the last step, that's a very important step, we need to observe the click or the behavior of the user so that we can learn from what we've shown, how the system acted, we can learn from what the users are doing and personalize it back. Okay, a bit more detail of how we actually, of what data we actually look at from your articles. So we are extracting the image, the text, the description, we're looking at the images, and then we're feeding those into the other cognitive services where we extract the sentiment of your text, the entities. We're looking for celebrities that we maybe find in the images that you provide, in the image. And from a user point of view, the information that we look from the user is geolocation, the browser, the referrer. Those are all just examples of what we provide out of the box, but you're able to customize all of this. So, as I said, this is what we provide out of the box, and we allow you to look at the source, you can deploy it yourself, and you can customize it if that doesn't fit directly to your scenario, or you have additional information that you want to provide to our system. And let me come now to the magic that we can do. So based on how we rank and how we explore the options, as I gave the example before with the fashion article, you really like fashion, right?
Yeah.
Okay. What we can do on the collected data is we can go back in time and try out new features that we maybe collected about the articles back there, or additional information that we found in another marketing database about Jonathan, and then try out a new machine learning model in the past, and we can estimate of how well we would have done using that new model, those new features in the past. This is called counterfactual evaluation, and at least in the case for the ranking and using our system, it frees you to some extent from running an A/B test, because you can be collect the data in a very principled manner, and it allows you to run offline experiments. Again, we have the source on how to run those models, on how to train those models on GitHub, and how to get the data from your storage account. And we also provide a dashboard that does this computation live for two policies, two offline policies. So the black line that you see is the online performance of what we just observed. The turquoise line is it's always following closest the latest model that we are currently training. Our system is constantly training new models, and by constantly I mean we really stream the data into our machine learning trainer and update new models, I think every 5 to 10 minutes. It's configurable. And the yellow line is what we take as the baseline. So the first article that Complex provides to us in their RSS feed is what we take as the editorial policy, as the baseline. And in their case, it's the editorial policy, what their editors would put into the first slot. And then we're trying to evaluate and estimate how well would their editorial team do over the data period that we collected the data. And you see, at least at that plot, we did rather well. Yeah. Again, it's on GitHub, and you can run the experiments offline as well. So I've shown the content personalization, and I think that's where you get your easiest start is with what we have documented out there, and Jonathan will tell you a bit more on how the integration worked with this one, but the system is much more general. And I'd like to go over the ingredients that you actually need to be, that the scenario is applicable for us. So you can have shared features, which in the case of content personalization could be user features, history that you have. Maybe if you're a retailer, you have shopping history on your website. On the actions, which are the articles, you can also have features, something that's descriptive. Maybe you have meta information, categorization that your team collected about it. Or you can actually use the workflows that we provide. Those are the action-dependent features. And the actions are the articles and the videos that you provide to us and that we can choose over. So what makes a good application for our system? if you have many decisions. The more traffic you have, the happier we are. We want to see a lot of traffic coming in. And the more we have, the better the machine learning can become. An important thing is that we need to be able to link the reward that we observe to the decisions that we make. So the decision would be the ranking in the content personalization case, and the click you click, we can associate the click that the user made to that ranking that we provided. And the number of actions needs to be, let's say, boundable, somewhere between 20 and 30, depending on your traffic. It can change every time we make a decision. It can change. So you can have a related article scenario, but you need to somehow get it to the 20 or 30 articles down that we can choose over. And the reason is because we do this exploration on how to figure out what are good options, what are good alternatives that we get from your data. Thank you. Let me hand over. Oh, you have a microphone.
Hello. Okay. Right. So I'm the director of R&D at Complex Networks. I run a small dev team that basically acts as kind of like the experimental and execution kind of team for the company. When somebody has kind of a crazy idea, they kind of come to me and my team and say, you know, can we try this? Or sometimes we'll have crazy ideas and we bring them to other people. Sometime about June or July last year, we started collaborating with Microsoft on the decision service right when they were kind of gearing up. So we've kind of been there from the beginning up to now where it's basically productized. I'll tell you about the company. It's a millennial-focused video-first company that reaches millions of people a month. Right now, we're kind of pivoting heavily towards video. So we started out as a magazine with a website, and then about 10 years in, became a website with a magazine, and then we became a video company with a website with a magazine. Now we're a video company with a website. So we've kind of gone from paper to video over that time. And this is in a landscape which I'm sure, as you all know, is increasingly fragmented on the internet. There's all these platforms now, including web, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, and I'm sure there'll be more coming out. So our problem is that users are increasingly consuming content off the web platform, and this content they're consuming is ML generated, so they're getting served content by algorithms already, and the websites are typically kind of a little bit behind on that. So our problem is, how do we get smarter about recommending content to users so that they have more engagement on our web platform? So there's three kind of challenges to this. One is conversions. So with the dominance of mobile now, it's no longer viable just to put a bunch of things on the web page and expect them to choose. Like, they kind of have shorter attention spans. They want to choose the right thing on the go, or they're going to go somewhere else. And you'll see a lot of the social networks kind of putting the right thing in front of them. So that's challenge one. Challenge two is responsiveness. So, the news cycle is now minutes, right? Things happen and people need to respond. And if you don't have somebody there sitting there waiting to put the right thing or change the right thing, then it's not going to happen. So that's where AI can be very useful, because it can sense when something has changed if you design it right, and it can put the right piece of content in front of the user. Experimentation. So this is probably the most difficult challenge, is how do we learn how to be good at this, right? There's no real book, or I'm sure there are books, but the books are still being written. This is fairly new to a lot of people. So, and how do we integrate this with the apps that we have, we don't spend all our time integrating it instead of improving? Cool. So I'll talk about how we kind of went about employing the decision service. So first, we kind of looked at use cases for experimentation. We looked at places where we would kind of, you know, there are places where we could try to use it where we would say, hey, that would be great if we could use it, but maybe it would not necessarily be the best use case for either it's too difficult to implement or it takes too long or what have you. So we found some good, simple use cases where we said, okay, you know, this is a place where we could try it out, see if it's successful. And, you know, we're not going to necessarily put our whole business on it. One was an article video widget, which is what the first POC we did, which was a second kind of an extra content video widget that went at the end of our articles that users would scroll down to. And the other one was eventually became the homepage secondary slot. So we have a big slot on our homepage, which is like the editorial kind of hero unit, and then we have a couple of secondary units. So we started out doing a POC with A/B testing. Now this is a little bit counterintuitive because you know, the decision surface is kind of designed to replace A/B testing in a lot of ways, but in some ways you want to know if the whole service you're using, how it compares to the original, because you need to kind of be able to verify that A, it's doing better, and you know, when it's not necessarily doing better than what the control would be, how to improve it. So you need a kind of like a good way when you're experimenting with using a new service, to compare it against the baseline. So we actually used the decision service as the B of an A/B test to start out with. And so what we started doing was we started experimenting and tweaking features. So, you know, we had the legacy solution, which was basically, you know, a relational keyword widget, which just kind of found similar content based on keywords and was kind of dumb. And we compared it with the decision service. And over time, we iterated and looked at what features and tweaks would do right and then improved it over time. And, you know, we put good metrics on it, so we reviewed the results to see what worked and what didn't. And so this was very helpful, one, in making it better, and two, in being able to communicate to other people exactly how it was better, right? So you kind of need... when you're communicating to other teams, it helps to have concrete data. You can't just say, "Hey, this is great." Right. So you know, using this kind of A/B test to start out with the decision service is one of the B, right? We're able to demonstrate, you know, to learn that it was A better and to demonstrate exactly how it was better. I'll go over some tips that we kind of learned, some recommendations as we started implementing this. And so this is from the perspective of a company that's just trying this out. You know, as I said before, identify a simple use case with a clear reward. So you want something simple and straightforward. Try, you know, if you're not sure whether it's better in this particular case, or if you want some concrete data, you can try actually using the decision service as one arm of the A/B test, and that will give you some concrete data to see if it's better and exactly how much it's better. I'd recommend using conversion rate. So typically, if you have a high traffic website, different browsers, you know, it's kind of a jungle. Sometimes events fire. Maybe those are compatibility issues. And conversion rate, so to clarify, CTR would be, you know, on a load if there was a click, right? Conversion rate would be in a user session if there was at least one click. So conversion rate kind of tracks with CTR, but can be more reliable. I would think of using ML in general as an investment and not a magic bullet. It's basically going to improve relative to what you have, right? And how well you design it. And so, you know, it's good to set the expectation that this is something that will take up some time and build habits over time. Start simple and realize that you probably have to do some iteration and tweaking of features. More things that we learned, you know, try to have a sterile testing environment. This is almost common sense, but... you know, we had some issues with actually kind of implementing with legacy code. So sometimes, you know, if you have a big, you know, legacy widget that the code's a little bit messy, you probably want to take the time to make it kind of standard to save yourself some headaches. You know, you know, be okay with experimentation and learning. Choose your action sets wisely. So that's the actual choices you give it. So what we learned was that it's only going to really work well with the choices you give it. So, you know, as an example, on the video widget, we originally gave it a set of options that were recent videos and compared it against related videos, and we found that related videos did better than recent videos. And then we mixed the related videos with a set of trending videos, and we found that did better than the recent videos, or did better than just the related videos. So you can kind of mix options together to get your right recipe. It's almost like a stew where you where you throw in different ingredients and tweak over time. You know, have good metrics. That'll help you kind of see when things are going right and things are going wrong. And, you know, I think as Marcus said, you know, you want to have enough traffic and enough experiments to fuel the learning. And so, you know, after doing this, we kind of identified two potential areas for using the DS. One is external performance, so, you know, user engagement, user clicks, increasing session times. And other is internal efficiency, which, you know, is if someone's doing 4 hours of work, you may be able to use something like this to make the decisions for them and save them some time, and maybe they can do their work in something that they'd be more useful at. So, you know, here's some general takeaways that we learned. You know, machine learning is definitely here to stay, and it's actually been here for a long time. So, I mean, I think there's a reason that some of the biggest companies in the world right now have machine learning at their core. Decision service, I think, is a really good solution for media companies looking to experiment in this space and integrate in their applications, because it's kind of like a good middle ground between low-level algorithmic, where you need a data scientist, and kind of like a black box widget where you just throw it on your page. It kind of lets you really integrate that into your application if you want to, because of the way it's designed and abstracted. So the also, like, a lot of the best practices, this is all kind of pretty new, I think, for media companies in general. So I think, you know, there isn't really a lot of best practices yet for this. And I think each company needs to, you know, or each team needs to kind of figure out how it works for them and be okay, you know, with some experimentation and learning. And that leads to the last point, which is, you know, it does require, when you're implementing this, it does require kind of good attention and skill to apply when you're using a solution like this. It's different than a kind of like a widget you just throw on your page and expect it to work. I mean, that's specifically a managed ML solution. This is kind of like a middle ground between, you know, having a data scientist, you know, train an algorithm for you, widget again. So it does take, you know, attention, and I think it's valuable to do that, because I think it will help you learn how to apply something like this and use it in your workflow.
All right. Well, look, thank you, Jonathan. Thank you, Marcus. Fascinating stuff. Let's give him a big round of applause.